Imagine a Saturday night where you're at a friend's house for a party, enjoying his and the other guests' company. I mean, great food, good wine, a beautiful evening on the terrace of his home under the stars. From where you sit, high on the upper fringes of your town, you can smell the sea breeze and actually see the water below, reflecting just a million points of moonlight in the darkness. As happens at a party sometimes, the conversation suddenly takes a serious turn. The host begins relating the story of his recent spiritual interest in a totally new, utterly strange-sounding teaching from somewhere in the East. Your interest is piqued. You have always been kind of up for new things of that sort. And as it turns out, this particular gathering that he's talking about will actually reconvene tomorrow morning. They meet that day every week, and your host would be happy to take you, introduce you, kind of show you around. So now, here you are, waiting for him at the northwest corner of the market square, Sunday morning. And here he comes. You begin to walk together. A few blocks off, you come to the front door of a quiet side street villa. The sound of voices inside are audible. You follow your friend inside. The front room is nearly totally full. I mean, there's people everywhere. Strangers then rise to come over and greet you, welcome you in. Then after a few more moments, a man toward the back of the house rises. He seems to be some sort of leader here. Everyone takes their seat. The gathering begins in perfect silence. It is as if everyone is listening for something. Then one person, an old man, stands to his feet, approaches the front of the group, turns and faces the gathering, and shares what he has heard. Heard from who, you wonder? This happens a few more times, from men and women, young and old. Finally, the leader of the gathering, at least that first man who'd called everyone together in the first place, he goes to the front, looks around the room, and then calls forward a man named Paul. Turns out, he was the man who's been sitting next to you this whole time. So he stands up, gathers the fringes of his cloak, kind of snakes his way through the crowd to the front, and up there, nods his head, and begins to speak. His words begin quietly, almost kind of falteringly. "Like you," he says, "I never myself saw the man during his days within our midst. Certainly, I heard rumors of what was happening down in the Galilee, but I was wrapped up in my studies and my scrolls and in my learning, never guessing that the object of those scrolls was alive and observable. But now I know. Now I am wrapped up in the mysteries of that man. For Jesus of Nazareth has come from the throne room of heaven to Nazareth, to Galilee, to Israel, to the world. I am speaking now of the mystery of God becoming a man. Like us, he was born. Like us, he was schooled. Like us, he attained manhood, worked, toiled, sweat, earned the bread a man must earn. Then, coming forth from the quiet of his town, he began to teach, to heal, to preach, and provoke. Everywhere he went the crowds desirous of the kingdom of heaven. For that is what he brought in his eyes and his heart, the kingdom of heaven, an interior kingdom that conquers all life, all minds, all hearts. And for this, and according to the timeless wisdom of our God, he was killed. Not as some political or religious victim, no, as the Savior of the world, taking upon himself all men's sins. Yes, your sins. He has already considered and dealt with those. And 3 days later, and in the sight eventually of hundreds of witnesses, he was raised from the dead and walked amidst man again. And now, He is raised back up to his rightful place, the place from whence everything came, the right hand of God. He administers all that he rightly reigns over. So, repent of your past and its sin. Be set free now and forevermore. And come and walk with me, my brothers and sisters, as I walk with him in the power of his Holy Spirit within me. This is the one great purpose of your life. Now come, live it. All throughout this, all throughout these words for which your life has given you no preparation, no context, you have been studying the speaker for clues as to what this all might mean. Does he wear some sort of proper priestly regalia? No. Is he anointed with all the fragrant oils of the high worshipers of Jupiter? No. I mean, is he even a handsome sort of fitting preacher for an apparently incarnate God, or is he a son of God? Not particularly. But he believes in this man, whoever he is, Jesus of Nazareth. His words somehow make you shaky inside, almost frightened, like it's all real, and like nothing else you've ever known in your whole life really is. And his eyes, I mean, the eyes of this Paul, they're ignited with a flame that you can tell instantly. It's unquenchable, inextinguishable. His whole inner life would appear to be the product of a sacred, eternal fire straight from heaven. It leaps out with his words, his wordings, never hurting the listener's ears and heart, but sort of slowly, wondrously drawing them in. Drawing them in toward this fire, drawing them in toward this Jesus of whom Paul preaches. So now imagine that you say yes. Yes to all you now know of Jesus. Yes to a new life of seeking after while being filled up by he himself. And that for many months, you actually become the close friend of Paul, seeing him like multiple times each week, learning directly from him as he learns directly from Jesus himself. Until suddenly, he's off. He's gone. After 18 months among your midst. In fact, word has it he's gone with Priscilla and Aquila, who you happen to know, to possibly Ephesus or even maybe as far away as Judea. Of course, the fellowship continues to meet, really lacking nothing now because of the presence of that Holy Spirit that Paul talks about. And yet, you certainly miss your dear friend Paul of Tarsus. Until one day, hey, there's a letter, someone announces at the opening of your Sunday fellowship. And so, yes, with excitement, everyone takes their seat, gets settled, quiets the children down, takes a deep breath, calms their spirit, and then they listen. And here's what they listen to. Paul, commissioned by the will of God as a messenger of Jesus Christ, and Sosthenes, a Christian brother, to the church of God at Corinth. To those whom Christ has made holy, who are called to be God's men and women, to all true believers in Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace be to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am always thankful to God for what the gift of his grace in Jesus Christ has meant to you, how, as the message about Christ has become established among you, he has enriched your whole lives. From the words on your lips to the understanding in your hearts. And you have been eager to receive his gifts during this time of waiting for his final appearance. He will keep you steadfast in the faith to the end, so that when his day comes, you need fear no condemnation. God is utterly dependable, and it is he who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. My friends, here we are. We're beginning again in 1 Corinthians, then Romans, then 2 Corinthians, a whole new year, in fact, probably a year and a half. Who knows how long it's going to take us? But having read those 9 verses, here's what I'll say. Take a deep breath and let it out, just like, Because friends, this is what is ours. This new reality, this freedom, this inheritance, this joy, this that I just read is your life now. The old reality of the condemnation of sin, the self, and Satan is forever finished and done with. The human condition, that history of bondage and enslavement, has been shattered by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Our former feelings of purposelessness, they're laughable now. For you and I are now sons and daughters of God. We are inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. And where we used to feel shame and sorrow, we are now free to be filled with the very joy of Jesus himself. This year and a half, however long all of this takes, I think you're going to be hearing me talk a lot about the idea of thresholds. And let me define that for you. A threshold is a level, point, or value above which something is true and will take place, and below which it is not and will not. Let me read that again. A threshold is a level, point, or value above which something is true and will take place, and below which it is not and will not. Because personally, I want to talk about the glorious baseline realities that are ours in Jesus of Nazareth, and that I want to live in, like live fully, truly up and above in the midst of all he's offering, rather than just know about these things and sort of experience none of it. And in fact, may I be so bold as to say that Paul wants to talk about these glorious baseline realities that are ours in Jesus of Nazareth, and then he wants to see us live fully, truly up and above in the midst of all Jesus has lived, died, and lived all over again to give us. That's what he's after in this opening of 1 Corinthians 1. He's reminding these friends and us of all that's already ours. And in fact, I'll prove it to you. Because when you think of the totality of the gospel, like the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done, would you be able to tell me kind of sequentially of all the elements involved? Could you? Like, how about the first part of what the gospel is, the one that literally kicks it off? Is it not the incarnation? The fact that Jesus of Nazareth, God in the flesh, actually came and lived and took on flesh? Well then, I mean, what would be next? Well, if you've ever read 1 Corinthians 15, which eventually we'll get to, and if you've ever sat and listened to a true preacher of the gospel of Jesus, here's what I would tell you. Here's the sequential ordering. This is the gospel. It is, yes, Jesus, the incarnate one who is among us. It is then, boy, his death and resurrection that sets us free. It is his ascension. It is his sending of the Holy Spirit. It is his life, Jesus's life now living in ours. It is our inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. And really lastly, and boy, does Paul bear this out, it is the call to now go and give it all away. So let's come back to Paul's words, 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9. Because to me, in these 9 verses with which he opens up this first ever letter to his friends in Corinth, there are, in my personal estimate, 14 statements or clauses. And so when you stop and really stare at all of them, each of them slowly, methodically, and really pay attention to what's being said, I'm going to tell you right now, a whole new ordering starts to happen of these verses. And guess what? They align gorgeously with the totality of the gospel, with all that Jesus has come to do in us and through us. So my brothers and sisters, as we get ready to dive into a whole new book, as we spend who knows how long delving into the glorious things he has for us, in light of these words, I want you to hear what are the thresholds of our new human experience. Well, how about this? How about these verses put into the order of the gospel itself? Listen. God is utterly dependable, and it is he who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has come to us and lived among us, and in whom you have come to be a true believer. He is the one who has, by his life, death, and resurrection, made you holy and blameless, so that when his day comes, you need fear no condemnation. And now, right now, as he reigns from within the throne room of heaven, you eagerly await his final appearance. For he has sent his Holy Spirit to live within you. And that Holy Spirit has brought grace and peace to you from God the Father and from this friend of ours, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now you may be eager today, open today, ready today, to receive the Holy Spirit's gifts within. And Jesus' own words are now on your lips. And he sent his understanding to live in your hearts. He will keep you steadfast in belief to the very end. For you, my brother, my sister, are an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. You have new brothers and sisters. You belong to the church, the ecclesia, the gathering place of God with his people. We are God's men and women now. And we may always be thankful to him for what the gift of his grace in Jesus has meant to us, how, as the gospel has become established in us, he has enriched our whole lives. And now you, my friend, you listening to this podcast, just like Paul, are commissioned by the eternal will of God to be a messenger of Jesus Christ. My friend, welcome to a new year. Welcome to the glories of the gospel. Thanks for listening.